B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Well, I guess it's the cigarettes, you know, everyone gets to sneak a cigarette on moving day.
Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Wow, far out.
Saudi Arabia, party, party, yeah, party, party, yeah. Fun, 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 fun.
Ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone ever invented the computer without finding a computer first somewhere in the woods or somewhere deep in the city or somewhere deep in the ocean or up in the mountain or something, you know. This is your Turner & Hutch Drunken Socks Recap.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. Watch us on Twitch. They got a whole thing going on over there. Twitch.tv, search 98.5 The Sports Hub. They talking and everything else over there. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub application on all your smartphones and all those things. And driving to work today, you know, I've made the statement yesterday that we are, at this point, this particular break, only this one, is for a very select. We are all in the same stars in the same celestial system. We are all parts of the same movement. We are all people that are up before your friends. When you get up, you can walk outside. You can feel the cold air. You can see the darkness. You can see that the neighbors are sleeping. Everyone, the city lays dormant. The rodents are out. The big raccoons. The big raccoons are always by the trash can. I can smell skunks that have been fighting the raccoons as the nocturnal animals are out and about. And I say that we're all part of the same team, which is, and today there was not a lot of traffic, but I did find myself, speak of this unity, when the lights were not staggered correctly, I did find myself saying, come on, guys. I said to myself out loud, come on, guys, meaning that the people that work the lights should be part of this as well. That up until 6:15, 6:20 in the morning, everyone should be on the same page. You ever see the Eddie Murphy skit where he dresses as the white guy and he gets like on the, and the black guy gets off the bus and then everyone starts partying? Well, obviously the racial implications aside, but as people of any race, color, creed, or religion, or sexual orientation, that you get up and you are up and active at this point, we should all, it should be like that. Our lives should be like that for this short amount of time. We should all be on
the
same
page. There was a light, Fred. There was a light on the way to work that if I got to the intersection before 4:30, it was a flashing yellow light. But after 4:30, it was a red light that lasted like almost a minute and a half.
Yeah,
so it was almost like
home.
I would look at my watch like, I got to get out of here. Got to get out of here. And like, I knew that if you were like, thank God, I got out just in time. But right at 4:30, it went on some timer that it would sit there and you just sit there and wait. And there'd be nobody. There'd be nobody going in either direction. The streets were dead. But you'd have to sit at a red light for like 90 seconds at least.
Yeah, you got to run that one. That's one that's on the way home for me. I sit at that light. And yeah, that's a situation where you got to just go through it. I mean, there's only so much, so long, and it's longer than 90 seconds, and you gotta run it, because it's like an 8-way stop. And it, now that UMass,
like 5 minutes, but I timed mine once and it was 90, which 90 seconds at a red light feels like an eternity.
But it's longer
but it
than
feels like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's longer than that during the day. Now that UMass Lowell's not, you know, on campus,
Boston,
whatever the hell it is, UMass Boston, whatever the not good ones are, and when then there's no one coming.
Yes.
So, you know, BC High is in session. So when there's no UMass Boston, I mean, yeah, you got to plow through that thing. But got to get on the same page. Got to get on the same page. People were better today. Things were moving. There is a lot of traffic. I got to say, a lot of traffic. Last night, Nick's copy of the Borat movie had expired. He had watched the movie and it had expired. So I did not get to see Borat. I guess I'll see that today. I didn't want to watch.
I'll forward it to you. Oh, it's out today. But I'll forward it to you so you can get to watch it for free.
Oh, thank you. But,
I'm surprised you didn't get one. Okay, I feel bad because I had the...
No, she didn't send me one.
I guess they even sent stuff to the station to you as well. They might even have a hard copy of it there.
Really? Where do we get mail?
Is the mail room still downstairs?
Yeah,
we're asking the wrong person.
Well, I don't know
over here.
Yeah,
the mail room's still downstairs. I don't know if they just leave the mail there for people or there's someone who goes. I mean, there's no one downstairs greeting people. So,
no.
I mean, I don't know if the mail gets sorted or where it's put. I have no idea.
There was a box that came in for you yesterday, Fred, and it was delivered by somebody that works in the building. So apparently if there is mail, sometimes they'll bring it up in the morning or during the show and say,
okay,
hey, so... But it's back in our little room back there, Fred. I have it for you.
That's got to be it because they knew we were fans and they like the studio brought a bunch of Borat stuff in there. So maybe there's a hard copy in there for you.
Oh, good. Well, thank potentially. You. I appreciate that. That would be nice. I would like to watch that movie. Yeah. So but they had like a live one at 9 that I had a link to, but I didn't want to commit to watching the whole thing at 9 o'clock and that debate was on, and. Much more civil.
It's really funny. You're gonna like it, Fred. You're gonna like Borat. It, as I said, it's like got like two because it's basically a bunch of like skits and segments that are all set up, and there's like a loose story that ties it together. But the story's funny. The Borat character is very funny. But there's about two of them that I was cackling laughing. Like it was brilliant. There's two of them, and it's not the Giuliani's not even as I said in like the top. 4 or 5. It's definitely newsworthy, but there's some stuff in there that's just phenomenal. So I think you're really going to like it. It might not be as good as the first one, but it's still excellent.
These are the kinds of movies you got to watch twice because I have a feeling I'll be so uncomfortable the first time that I'm going to have to watch it again.
Because there's certain like ones where you're watching through your fingers. Oh yeah. It's like the worst of the Office or Curb Your Enthusiasm, but even in this movie, it's ratcheted up so much higher. I mean, yeah, it's really tough to watch at times, but I went and because I watched it and then I showed a couple scenes to Mary, and the second time we watched it, you're right, you can enjoy it a little bit more because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I had to watch the first Borat because now it's my second favorite comedy of all time behind Anchorman, but I had to watch it a couple times before I fully appreciated it to get the cringes out of me. But the scene, and it's funny. What I like the most about that movie is not even when he's screwing with people necessarily. It's, I mean, the scene where he's in the hotel, in the bed and breakfast with the guy, and they see cockroaches and they assume that they're Jews, so they start throwing money. That scene is just, it's just like, wow, you're improvising here. This little improvising. You found the cockroach, and this is what you came up with, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Well, the one thing that was good about this movie that I actually liked better than the first one is that in the first one, it was almost like everyone that was a mark in the movie just ended up looking like an a-hole. In this one, there's several ones that kind of backfire on him where he realizes maybe these guys aren't as bad as you thought they were. Yeah. And that part of it's kind of cool. Like, I actually liked that it's not all just look at these idiots. It was, hey, all right, maybe I was wrong about this person. Or, hey, maybe, you know, the fact that they left in stuff like that was actually kind of a cool little twist that this movie had that the first one didn't have.
Well, there you go. I look forward to seeing that. But like I said, the presidential debate was yesterday, and it was much more civil. There was, they had not, you have to use the mute very often, But the woman that moderated is getting lauded as being so fantastic. But what, if you were one of the other moderators, wouldn't you be BS about that? In that,
sure.
Yeah, Wallace, what did he say afterwards? Wallace was jealous or something like that?
I didn't see that, afterwards, but I would imagine he would be because, I mean, she lucked out. I mean, she got very playing by the rules Trumparoo.
The reason that happened was because the way that he acted in the first one backfired so badly that somebody finally was able to convince him, man, you can't do that. You need to be more subdued. And I think that circumstance kind of fell. Now, she did do a good
job.
You don't say. Yeah, but I mean, she's getting praise for something that he had to do.
Well, that's what I just said. That's what I'm saying is that if I was one of the other moderators, I would be kind of BS because I'd say, well, I mean, this is a totally different debate. She got a very playing by the rules Trump. She didn't do nothing. She just, I mean, you know, people were respecting what she had to say. I mean, that's the whole thing. If you have an unruly class, she was not like Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds, where she went into the class and she walked into the Valley of the Shadow of Death and had to deal. She wasn't like Edward James Olmos in the movie where he does the times nine
stand multiple, and deliver. Is where that
he, yeah, where yeah, he's the yeah. AP math teacher.
Right. What was the other one in the teachers you take over? Stand By Me. Remember that? Wasn't that
Stand By Me is
Morgan Freeman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's Lean On Me.
That's Lean On Me.
Lean On Me, not Stand By Me.
Stand By Me is, you know, walking the railroad tracks, man.
That's right.
Looking for the dead body.
Great movie. Yeah, Daniel Stern being the voice of the father.
No, Daniel Stern, I believe, was the voice of the father in the Wonder Years. It was Richard Dreyfuss.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Richard Dreyfuss,
right. You mentioned Michelle Pfeiffer in that video with Coolio, where Coolio just blows smoke. She walks in, sits down, doesn't say a word, and Coolio, like, blows smoke in her face, and that's the video.
Yeah, you might look at her and you go, like, who's this mamacita? Who's this hot number? And she's going to look you dead in the eye and say, I've seen it all, baby.
That's right.
I've been to that place and back.
Come at me. I'm ready for
you. I'm not intimidated by you, Coolio. I mean, I know your hip-hop says that you're thuggish to the bone, but I'm sitting here and I'm telling it like it is. You got to learn this AP math. Now, if you're watching on Twitch, you can see this. 9 times 3, 1, 2, 3, 27. 9 times 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 36.
Yeah.
Monday. Hey, yeah.
Never saw Dangerous Minds. It's one that just kind of...
Yeah.
No, never saw it. Stand and Deliver was pretty good, though.
Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia was the bad guy at the end, right?
Yeah, he's the principal, man.
He was the guy who claimed that Edward James Olmos' kids had all cheated.
Yeah, there's no,
almost threatened to punch him in the face.
He wasn't the principal. He was the guy from the
standardized test. Guy. He came in and said, if I see you on the street, Johnny, I'm going to knock you out.
Something like that.
That's right.
Yeah. It's all downhill for Andy Garcia since The Untouchables.
I'm going to knock you out, yeah. That was that's my Edward James
Olmos, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's always making lunch for everyone. Who's the guy from Young Guns that's in it?
Oh,
Lou Diamond Phillips?
Lou Diamond Phillips. He plays like a straight up like Crip in
He's got the ponytail. Hey, Kimo, I'm the first dude here. What's calculus? What's calculus? Calculus. Or whatever he calls it. Whatever he calls it.
Calculus. All right, yeah.
I love how you said Young Guns and not La Bamba, because wasn't La Bamba like his
thing? La Bamba was his thing, yeah.
He was in Young Guns. He was a young gun.
Young Guns 2, an okay movie.
Young
Guns 2 was pretty damn good.
I disagree.
The Billy the Kid one? I thought that was pretty damn good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 45.
Well, 2 had a better theme song. I think we can all agree with
that. Well, when you get Blaze of Glory, working, of course it does. Come on.
I'm not a Bon Jovi fan, but Blaze of Glory is a good song. Got no problem with that one.
Yeah, that's a good song. You're right.
Okay, all right.
Stand and Deliver.
You got to get the number.
That's right.
That was a good movie. That movie's was on all the time.
Was good. I like that movie a
that
lot.
That was on all the time. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up?
All right. Well, we had the Clash of the Trash last night on Thursday Night Football, and Cam Newton takes a little bit of responsibility for how bad the team has been playing.
You got to take responsibility. It's the AP test. Emily, you know he's always doing that with his arms?
He's having a seizure.
He always has the members-only windbreaker on. And
yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, all right.
All right. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Did you know that neither the Greeks nor the Romans were capable of using the concept of zero? That was your ancestors, the Mayans, who first contemplated the zero, the absence of value. We're going to need a lot of Kleenexes. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed.
Well, you've seen this movie a few times.
No, I'm reading it off the internet.
Oh, okay. But, by the way, one of our listeners, that was a whole genre of movies, was like the tough teacher.
Yeah.
And somebody reminded me of John Belushi vehicle. I'm sorry, Jim Belushi
the
vehicle.
The principal.
Yes. The principal.
Yes.
Louis Gossett
yeah,
Jr.
Yes. You can't be watching that. Lord Gossett Jr. Well, everyone knows James Belushi is a tune out. But Louis Gossett Jr., he was an officer and a gentleman, right?
Yes,
he was, he was the main guy. That was his movie. And then everything after that was pure trash.
Come on. Have you ever seen Iron Eagle?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Iron Eagle. Oh, Iron Eagle's great. I loved Iron Eagle.
It's not that they're stupid. Right. They just don't know anything.
Enemy Mine? Come on. You didn't see that one?
All right, here we go.
He was even in Blue Chips, Louis Gossett.
All right, all right. In these dark times, sometimes, you know, with these remote learning, sometimes you don't get the teacher that you need that can only be in the studio. So wake up the kids. Here is.
Are you the finger man? I'm the finger man too. You know what I can do? I know how to multiply by nine. Nine times three. One, two, three. What do you got? 27. Six times nine. One, two, three, four, five, six. What do you got? 54. Yeah. You want a hard one? How about eight times nine? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. What do you got? 72.
That's a cool trick. Do you know the trick, what he's doing?
Matter of fact, I taught my kids that.
Yep.
They were learning their times tables. I taught them an exact same one.
Because Pancho was given gang signs with his fingers. And he's like, you're the finger man. I'm the finger man, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. I see I was doing that for you earlier. If you were watching on Twitch.tv, you would see that I was doing that. I was acting along the scene.
Yep. You stood and delivered that scene, Fred.
Yeah. I mean, he took the gang signs of the youth. I'm sure it all worked out like that. I'm sure that movie is a by-the-book, straight-apt adaptation of what happened in that AP Calculus class. But I will. But he saw the gang signs, and he said, you know, hey, math has got its own gang signs, and it's pretty neat.
I think that was the name of the autobiography, or like the story of the turnaround.
Why was he dressed like a busboy? Why was he dressed like a busboy?
I don't know. He always had in a light blue... Members only windbreaker.
In this scene, he has a full apron on.
Oh,
and has one of those hats.
Oh,
like
telling
about what the kid's future is going to be if they don't learn.
Yeah, like, yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
it was.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They seem really interested. Yeah.
Yes.
All I know is that Lou Diamond Phillips' character got a 5 on the AP exam, the highest grade he could possibly get at the end of the movie.
He did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've said too much. For those people who haven't seen it, I've just wrecked the ending.
Yeah,
I don't remember that one. I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember what happened in it. They're all blending together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's your own problem.
All the old teachers who changed the world movies, which all I guess there's more than I even. There's a couple other ones that I'm getting tweeted about.
And the woman
I never
goes,
even heard of.
How are they going to do on the test? And he goes, it's not that they're stupid. It's just that they don't know nothing.
187 with Samuel L. Jackson. That's another one.
Nah, I never heard of that one. I don't even know that came in theaters. I mean,
I actually think I saw. Now I saw that one. I think in the theater.
Really? Well, he had a thing like an OCD for a while there, where he was going to everything that came out. He's seen many a feature film on the big old screen.
All right, what's going on?
Oh, well, last night it was a clash of the trash. The world division, or the worst division, rather, was on full display yesterday. The NFC just barfed up a game between the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. And if this play doesn't scream New York Giants in 2020, then I don't know what does.
Hand off. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
All right. I mean, there was no one in
there
front
was
of
no
Daniel
foot
Jones.
Race. He was by himself. There was no one with. He was almost by himself in the camera shot. That's how far away he was from anyone, everyone. And he tripped and he fell down. It was an 80-yard run, and he tackled himself.
Did you see the South Park where Cartman is the teacher from Stand and Deliver the whole time?
You know, I think I've actually have that. Seen that. Yeah.
And they make him bald with a comb over and the glasses that tint.
I'd like to hear that, actually. I'd like to hear Cartman as Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, Dan, see if you can find that.
See if I you haven't can find seen Cartman. This. I'd really like to hear it, though.
As Edward James Olmos. That's yeah, that's awesome. Right. A listener reminded us.
I did
us.
Not know that.
There's an episode of South Park where he's the character in the whole
Please
movie.
Please find that.
Yeah, he goes to like in, you know, like a high school that's in a bad area. Yeah. And he's like... I don't know. I can't remember the entire plot, but I know that he's in the
just to hear that in the voice of Cartman would be make my morning.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Just the picture of him. He's got the windbreaker.
Oh man!
All right. Yes, that was a bad game. I didn't watch much of it.
How do I reach these kids? I reached these kids.
There you go. That's Cartman as Edward James Olmos in the movie Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. That's not James, what I was hoping for.
As Jaime Escalante was the character's name.
Well, someone who couldn't stand and deliver a touchdown, Daniel Jones. He tripped on his own ass. And by the way, I love the fact that the play-by-play guys are just laughing their ass off. They're like, all right, dude.
They've
well,
seen it all. The Giants were up 21-10 with 5 minutes left and lost.
It was a miracle comeback.
Well, Carson Wentz, out of nowhere, delivered several where the hell did that come from strikes, including this one with just 40 seconds left. As you said, John, with like I think under 5 minutes to go, it was 21-10. They score, and then Wentz does this at the very end of the game.
Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Scott! Touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Corner at the goal line and went in.
What a catch. What a throw. What a catch. It's a back shoulder throw by Carson Wentz. And little Boston Scott somehow finds the football. What a throw. What a catch.
This is amazing.
Oh, Boston Scott, everyone's favorite Survivor cast member. He puts the Eagles in the lead, and a forced fumble seals the deal. The Eagles now number one in the division with only 2 wins.
I think that's Boston Rob, Rich. I think that was a Survivor.
Same guy. Okay. Here's Daniel Jones on what the hell happened on that 80-yard touchdown.
You're lucky
run
if you survive.
What's that, Fred?
Boston Rob, you're lucky if you survive.
I don't know. Try to run faster than I was running and got caught up. So we finished the drive, scored a touchdown. So that was a relief to me for sure.
And now you got a ticket to watch the show.
Someone's reminding me that there was even a parody of those movies. John Lovitz in High School High.
Yeah, that was okay. That missed the mark a little bit. That was
John
not good.
Lovitz in High School High. Now that's one you could say, did that come out of the theater? Chances that one was straight to video, probably pretty damn
high. Is that a National Lampoon movie? I think that might be a National Lampoon movie.
I think you might be right about that.
That might be National Lampoon to go along with the current National Lampoon Van Wilder series. Might be that as well.
Ever since Lovitz was in here.
National Lampoon, like, Cinemax movies that came out.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, National Lampoons, I'm invisible, and there's naked women.
Well, if you go to Showtime, like, if you have Showtime anytime, it's under the umbrella. Cinemax is under their umbrella. And so if you search for movies, it's funny because it'll be like Double D Vixens. And you'll be like, what the hell is this? And it's like, oh, they're still churning out softcore porn. Like, Cinemax is still making softcore pornography, which is very, it's just good to know. I'll never watch it, and there's never any reason to, but it's nice to know it's there.
Was it Mr. Holland's opus around that same time, too, about the inspirational teachers?
Yes.
Like, that was a major... You can even put Dead Poets Society in that same one. You know, he takes on... Listen, I'm going to shake up this class, even though I'm going to bring drama where people don't want drama.
Well, I mean, these kids, they had their own agenda. I mean, there was what was taught in the classroom, and then there was getting it into the cave and reading some poetry to each other. I mean, that's when it really got broken down.
Dude, Renaissance Man with Danny DeVito? Ah, that was one, too.
I saw that.
Now, he was a tough teacher?
No, yep. he had to go to the Army, right?
He was a tough Army teacher. Yes. These Army kids, they didn't want anything to do with learning.
I remember that.
And then here comes Danny DeVito. Wow, there really was like a genre of tough teacher movies. Holy crap.
Yeah. That was a big thing. Brian, go ahead.
The best part about Cartman doing the stand and deliver parody is that he's teaching the kids how to cheat based off Bill Belichick. He's saying the greatest in the game cheats to win.
No. That's why I saw that one. That's why I remember that. Yep. You're right.
Take it easy, guys.
Take it easy.
Oh.
The greatest in the game.
And then there was The Substitute, which had Tom Berenger as the tough teacher.
I know that one. Tom Berenger is usually a no-go. Tom Berenger is in that.
What movie was the one with Nick Nolte? Teacher? That was the 38
teachers.
Special? Just teachers. That was a 38 special, right?
It was him and Joe Beth Williams. Teacher,
there you go.
Won't you teach me?
That's right.
Won't you tell me what's right and wrong? I can't believe I know that song. I haven't heard that song probably since
Judd
that
Hirsch?
Movie came out.
Judd Hirsch.
I don't know. Joe Beth Williams, I remember, was in it. That's about it.
Now, is Joe Beth Williams the same woman as Barbara Hershey? No, Beth Williams is blonde.
No, Jo Beth Williams was the mom in Poltergeist. That might have been her biggest.
She was blonde.
She was in The Big Chill, right, Jo Beth Williams?
She was. I always thought she had like brown hair.
Wait, Jo Beth Williams was in The Big Chill.
She was super tall. That's one thing I do remember about her. Back in the day, I thought she had brown hair, but you might be right.
I think you're right, Rich.
Rich and I are full 10 years older than the characters being portrayed in The Big Chill.
Oh.
So I will tell you that right now.
That must suck.
Jo Beth Williams. She was in The Big Chill? I don't know about that. She was in Poltergeist. That much is true.
Yeah.
She was in The Big Chill. I don't recall her in that.
Yeah, she was in that.
Mm. She was.
You know what? I never saw The Big Chill, but I know she was in it.
Big Chill's a good movie.
Yeah.
Big Chill's a good movie.
Okay.
It represented older people when I was young, and then you see it, and you're like, these young bucks. Oh, college. University of Michigan, they were all graduates.
All of them, yep.
All right, especially a hunky Tom Berenger, who was a football star turned actor. All right, what do we have coming up?
We got Cam Newton taking a little bit of accountability. And
accountability, 2 × 9, 1, 2.
That's right, and then more stand and deliver quotes.
Yes, 1, 2, 19. All right, or 18. Wait, that doesn't work. Oh, yeah, it does. 18. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah. Me and my man's finna get up on some disco. Come on.
What you want?
Disco.
We got it.
Up in the club, we make them disco. On the street corners, make them disco. Come on.
What you need?
Disco.
We got more for you.
In the barber shops, make them disco. At the beauty shops, make them disco. Come on.
Disco.
On the street,
come on. I wanna see y'all take it there on the floor. You run in the slum, so we came with some more. I hate y'all people, hate them people who like to be
985, the sports sub. We're Toucher and Rich. I can't get the song out of my head. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, just wanted to comment on the tough teacher genre movies. Mm-hmm. You have to throw an honorable mention to Mark Harmon in Summer School. Because after all, he's teaching the toughest kids at the toughest time of year.
I watched that movie recently. It was on cable. They'll throw that on as a nod to the people that were 12 in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And what a double threat. First of all, that movie made $35 million. I just looked it up.
Whoa!
I remember when I was a kid and I saw it, I really liked it. Like, yeah. if they were marketing it towards me, it worked.
All right. Well, the double threat of Courtney Thorne-Smith and that, I just looked up her name, Fabiana Udino.
Yep.
I mean, what?
Which one was she? Because everyone
the really, really, really hot foreign exchange student.
Yeah, she's the one that the two horror movie kids really fell in love with.
I mean, what a spankapalooza that movie was for the young Freddie T.
Mark Harmon's love interest in the movie
was Kirstie Alley.
Yes, a very thin Kirstie Alley.
At the time,
Alley.
Was great.
Yes.
Let's not go crazy with very thin. I mean, she was attractive.
Comparatively speaking to what she is now?
Oh, she's a fat monster now.
Yeah, she's very thin there.
She's just a terrible person, from all accounts. I mean, she's got the whole Scientology thing happening. Oh. She's got a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Summer School is all right. Now, watching it now,
I watched it.
Hold up at all?
Or is I mean, it more I almost, just like I almost threw nostalgia? One out. I almost threw one out just for old time's sake. No, I mean, it was never good. I mean, it was just, it was.
I mean, listen, not every movie can be Back to School. You know, that
Back
still
to School
holds up. It's one of the greatest.
Okay, here's the flaw with Back to School because I played it for my kids.
Oh, my God, you should.
Yeah, there's nothing in it. There's
sure there is.
What's in it?
It's a really dirty movie.
Yeah, just like sex, dirty stuff, and nothing like he's not. There's never. No one's ever having sex except for Rodney Dangerfield, which is not exactly, you know, the most erotic thing in the world. Nah, the violence in all that and the race stuff. I don't want him to watch. But the sex stuff, as long as it's not like a real sex scene. I mean, it's a movie. It's a Rodney Dangerfield vehicle. I mean, it's not exactly wall-to-wall sex. And the tough guy in it is the brother from Rocky.
It's William Zabka, isn't it?
No, but the tough guy, you know, the bodyguard.
Yeah, Zabka is the blonde diver, the bad guy.
I'm
yes.
surprised that you would flag Back to School as being dirty of all.
Oh
the
yeah,
movies.
Yeah. There's like nudity and stuff in that movie.
If
sure.
it's moody, if there's nudity, I don't
Where?
Remember.
Where is he? He goes into the sorority and he's looking for his son. And
oh
he goes
yeah.
Girls
okay,
start
okay.
taking showers. And
yeah.
stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, that was like the '80s sitcom. Like we have to get the R. Like they were like we have to get the R. Yeah. So like we'll put some boobs in. It really fleeting nudity. It wasn't anything that bothered me. It wasn't
was he in the hot tub too? It was like,
yeah, but
what's
they're
not hot tub without
it?
Bubbles? Where's Bubbles?
And if they're nude in it, again, it was so fleeting. There was nothing that was uncomfortable. There was the scene where he went into the sorority, which I didn't remember because it's such a throwaway scene that I was kind of like, oh God, I wonder if there's a lot of nudity, and then there wasn't. But the thing beyond that, the thing because I did watch it with my kids, the thing is that the lead character in it, aside from Roddy Dangerfield, his son, the Melon Kid. Is just an awful actor.
The guy
just
from Christine.
Terrible.
Yeah.
He was the main kid in Christine as well.
He is awful. I mean, really no sympathy for him. In the whole movie, you're going like, why do you not like your dad?
And who is his best friend?
Is Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
Robert Downey Jr. That's right.
And Robert Downey Jr. liked the dad. Yep. They never. He wasn't a fully formed character. He was supposed to be like a punk rock kid, but they never really followed through with the character.
Oh, who, Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was kind of just a throwaway. But
That movie still kills. Has some of the best one-liners of. As a matter of fact, there's no question. It's my favorite Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Well, that
which is saying a lot, actually. You know, he's really good in Caddyshack too.
That movie was a colossal blockbuster.
Yeah,
and he had I had this Esquire on my toilet like for years and years growing up, and it was the Howard Stern was on the cover. It was like the first cover he had. And there was a big article about Rodney Dangerfield. And when that movie hit, he had like an opportunity to be a huge movie star. And he blew it because he was just so he loved horrors and he loved drugs and he just loved it. and he was so unreliable that he never followed through on it.
Did he follow up that with Ladybugs? Because I think he tried to go family friendly.
That was terrible, that movie.
Well, but it wasn't made for you. It was made for kids.
But he had an opportunity to be a big time movie star, and yeah, like Ladybugs wasn't the plan.
Yeah,
and just he couldn't get it together.
I remember when they finally said, I'm going to make a because, I mean, he did that really good role in Natural Born Killers where he was like, you know, played
I
against
never saw
the
that,
cast. Yeah. Oh, he played like an abusive father, and he was great. It was a serious role. But he tried to go back to his ways of, you know, back to school and easy money. And this was years too late. He made a movie called Meet Wally Sparks that is just the worst. Yeah. Like, it is the worst. And I don't even know if it's his fault or it's the people who put it together. But, I mean, you watch Caddyshack and you watch Back to School, and that dude, I mean, there was a time where he just couldn't miss. I mean, everything he did was just phenomenal. Well, one-liner after the next, killed.
A lot of years in between those. But, yeah, when he was in the hospital, like, he was smoking weed in the hospital. And when he was dying, like, he lived his he was a tortured soul, Rodney Dangerfield.
Well, I mean, he also had, like, a music career, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Rapid Rodney. He can't catch a break.
Rapid Rodney was the best. He was like, it was just him like in a courtroom in the video. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I know all about it. That was an unfortunate time.
Yes.
Turn it off. It's not. It brings back no fond memories.
Rodney.
I felt bad for
him.
Here's this guy who's one of the best joke.
No,
even though he didn't write him. Steve. All right. Yeah. Steve, go ahead.
You guys are forgetting about the legend, Morgan Freeman, Lean on Me.
We talked about
that. That might be my favorite of all the Tough Teacher movies.
No,
I think
that
was the best one.
You're missing out. Calculus. Calculus, yeah. The AP test.
What am I missing from Rodney Dangerfield? Because, like, he, like, right. I thought that he had made more movies than he actually
I have it
did.
Here.
No,
I have it here.
Well, let me guess. Okay, so Caddyshack was his first real thing.
Yes, Caddyshack was the first one.
All right, and then it went Easy Money.
Yep, that was 3 years later, by the way.
Yeah, because he was a comic. Yep. I mean, he was a comic.
Caddyshack and Easy Money.
And then it was Back to School.
Yep.
And then it was...
I think Ladybugs after that, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
right. Yes. Oh, no, you're forgetting the comedic genius Rover Dangerfield. You're forgetting
that. He tried to do a bunch of kids' movies. That's right.
And then it was Ladybugs, and then it was Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, that wasn't the plan. Well, you know, he wanted to be a comic. I mean, he had Dangerfields. He was great to every young comic. Any young comic that ran into him, he was a big Kinnison guy. He was... a Norton guy, Jim Norton. So, yeah, Dangerfield, he just loved it. He loved doing stand-up.
Natural Born Killers is 94, Meet Wally Sparks, 1997.
You almost don't want to see him in Natural Born Killers because it's so, like, I wasn't a fan of that movie. I think that Oliver Stone is a huge over-director. But it was an inspired casting to get him to be, like, this abusive father, and he was terrifying.
He was
you almost don't want
Nicky?
To see him that way.
He was a little Nicky?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
But that's like stunt cast. You know why I don't like that casting?
But he was great.
No,
in it.
But I'll tell you why. Is because it's stunt casting. Because you just said it. Is that seeing Rodney Dangerfield, and I know there's no doubt he was great. I never saw the movie, but I'm not doubting that at all. But the thing is that already you know Rodney Dangerfield. So seeing him do that is already, that it's disturbing. So I don't credit Oliver Stone for that casting as being like a slice of genius.
The reason it worked for it, if you haven't seen it, it was a...
It's a dream sequence. I've seen him in the movie.
Yeah.
I've seen that scene.
But it's supposed to be a comedy TV show, like a sitcom.
Right.
So they wanted to get like a comedic actor, but the stuff he was saying wasn't funny at all.
Right.
It was horribly disturbing, and it just worked.
No, I've seen the scene. The thing is that you put an actor in there. Then I'll give you the inspired casting. But you're stunt casting. I mean, I get it. You know, you got Rodney Dangerfield, and we all love him. And then you put him in that situation, and he's saying these terrible things. But I'm with you. I'm not an Oliver Stone guy. I can't think of an Oliver Stone movie I like. God bless you if you sat through JFK.
Any given Sunday could have been really good. You want to talk about overdirected? Like, there was way too much crap spinning and moving around, and like that, you blew having the chance of Jamie Foxx was really good at Willie Beeman. Like, he was that was a great character, and they blew it. They overdirected it. And Al Pacino completely overacted throughout the entire thing, and Cameron Diaz, you got old. Yeah, that movie not as good as you might remember it being.
No. Anytime you went into Blockbuster and it was a two VHS affair, as was the case with JFK, anytime there's an intermission, I'm out. I'm not buying into that. I can't remember Platoon. I've seen it once.
Platoon, I just remember the dude from Living Color being in it.
Yes, and that killed. Was like hugely exciting.
Yeah, like nobody else knew who he was except for us. You know, you're like, whoa, it's a dude from Living Color. They're like, no, it's Manny or whatever the guy's name was.
That's like in Pump Up the Volume when they play Wiener Schnitzel by the Descendants. And I'm like,
you liked Wall Street. That's Oliver Stone. I just thought it was hysterical.
Wall Street's one of my favorite movies. Okay, so there you go. But I'll tell you why I like it. Is because Oliver Stone, his flaws in that context work, because it is ridiculous and it is over-directed, but that's the capturing of that era and what he's trying to capture. So, like, it plays into all his flaws. So it's like Willie Mopena. If a guy's throwing 100 miles an hour, you're going to hit one over. You know what I'm saying?
That was specifically to get me to pay attention.
No, I'm just giving a sports analogy. It's like you're coming in. It's like a guy coming into a batter's box.
Sports dork, listen up.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it so you understand.
I'm with you now. I'm perked up. I'm ready.
Hey, nerd.
Yes. Yes.
He also made your other favorite movie. You know today
is Yeah.
Everyone loves the Doors.
That needed to be made.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I didn't mind that movie.
That had to be made. Hey, remember this band with like two albums? They were the greatest. Remember when like Danny Fields would have him over and have him.
And there are people out there that will fight to the death to tell you that the Doors were good.
The Doors are good. Doors are a good band. Jim Morrison is corny as hell, but the Doors, their songs,
they're fine.
The majority of them are legitimately good. There's some that are really good.
All I'll say is that as a music historian nerd, a rock historian nerd, a total nerd of, you know, 30 years, 40 years of reading these dumb biographies, nothing comes out. If you think little of Jim Morrison, you'll think less of him the more you read about him, because he was considered by everyone a complete moron, like a poser, moron,
really?
Dummy. I could use worse language to describe him. Dumb without alcohol to the point of maybe like he couldn't have passed middle school. Like he's a truly, truly dumb person. And people would have him over and they'd be like, give him a bunch of drugs and alcohol and go here, like watch him go. And he wouldn't disappoint. He'd be a big dummy.
L.A. Woman's still a good song.
L.A. Woman, you're a woman. Hey, L.A., welcome to the show.
Ha-cha-cha.
Hey, that'd be great if
Jimmy Durant.
If he didn't die, and then he was like doing a Vegas review. L.A. Woman, hey, Hollywood, how do you do?
She's from L.A., oh yeah, ha-cha-cha.
Sunset Boulevard, woman, woman. Hey, Hollywood Boulevard, woman, woman. All right, Bert Breer is going to join us. We'll actually talk about sports. Hey there, football star. You're going to want the pigskin. All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.